go to the order of business of resolutions.
Resolutions. Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I have a resolution.
You have a resolution, Senator? Send it forward. You care to explain the resolution, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. This resolution is one that come from some issues that we've been faced with disasters due to flooding. Due to flooding here in the state of Missouri. And the Corps of Engineers have, and their responsibility in actually causing some of these floods. And then also their inaction to do some of the repairs after the flood damage has ceased in some cases, but of course in Northwest Missouri is still there. We, in this resolution, we ask them to urge them to manage the rivers so that they avoid the flooding disasters that we have. It also asks them to rebuild the levees and repair the ground back to its original condition as soon as possible. With that, Mr. President, be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I'll ask for its adoption.
The resolution will be printed in the journal. So on the order of business of resolutions.
To inquire.
The senator from the 13th was on his feet. What reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 18th.
Or Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from North St. Louis County?
I'd be remiss if I didn't.
He does proceed.
North, Highway 40. he disrupted my train of thought. This is a resolution that you're just having printed in the journal. Are you asking
yes.
us to adopt this resolution?
We're having it printed in the journal.
Are not adopting, and you're just printing a statement from the representative from Lewis, or the senator from Lewis in the journal?
That is correct.
And you're basically saying, Corps of Engineers, would you rebuild the levees and manage the river? The reason I'm asking these questions is if you go further down the Mississippi River, you run into my district.
Oh, I know.
And I have had flooding in my district. So that's why I'm inquiring what you're doing. That's where...
Yes, it applies to the flooding issues that we've had, urging the Corps to step up their responsibility in managing these floods, like what we've had on the Missouri. It also... in the management, I guess you could call it down at Bird's Point where they blew that. And then I've had issues up in my area, and I know all that water runs downhill, so I know it goes by you, too.
Well, see what they do in my area is, do you know who the property owners that do not benefit from levees are? The ones at the beginning of the levee and the ones at the end of the levee. Because what you're doing is you're building with levees rivers above ground. That's basically what you're doing, and it's basically to ensure property from being flooded. Problem I've had for years is we have all these developers that buy that floodplain, do development, and then they want the state to bail them out once their property gets flooded. So whenever anybody has anything to deal with levees or the Corps of Engineers, sometimes we, the citizen, are just as much to blame as anybody as well.
And this is just asking them to try to manage to keep from going over the levees that we currently have and build them back to their original design. We're not asking for new with this or anything else that would change a pattern that you've had.
Did you have a few levees break this year?
Pardon?
Did you have a few levees break with
yes,
the flooding?
Yes, and I had to
was
call
it the
in...
Mississippi River where the levees broke?
Actually, what we had was tributaries right there to the Mississippi.
Excuse me. Mr. President, I'm having a tough time hearing the senator.
We get some order in the Senate so the senators can hear themselves discussing this matter.
What we had in my district were levees that broke that were actually on tributaries. The Mississippi was very high. They had 13 inches of rain that in a 24-hour period that broke some tributary levees that is in that Mississippi drainage district. I had to get the We had to bring in four pumps from the state of Louisiana, 30-inch pumps, and then I had to get the National Guard to bring fuel in to save a town that was inside that levee district.
Okay, I grasp. You're just telling it. You're doing a statement. I just always want to make sure I'm aware of if we're voting on something dealing with levees of what I've dealt with in my district for the last 20 years. That's all. Thank you for your time, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the resolution? The further resolutions. The senator from Phelps. For what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Lewis?
Senator from Lewis, you yield to the inquiry.
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, you and I had a discussion this morning. I encourage you to bring this resolution forward because I think the time-sensitive manner of this issue. We realize that we don't have control over the Corps of Engineers and what they do on the rebuild, but I think bringing this forward is important in this case, and I think we should send this resolution to our congressmen and our senators on the federal level because they do have more, they have jurisdiction over the Corps. The Corps does work for us, and I think what we need to impress upon folks, the Corps seems to be putting off rebuild, putting off talking about it till maybe sometime next year. And if I understand, and I don't personally have a dog in this fight, I do because I'm involved in food production in Missouri. But we need the levees built back before spring crop season to try to start recovering land. Is that true?
You bring up a good point. You know, down at Bird's Point, they're saying they're only going to build it up to 51 feet when the original height was 62 and a half feet. Up in my area, landowners got letters 3 weeks ago saying that they wouldn't have the Corps, from the Corps, saying that they wouldn't have funding available to repair those levees until probably after the next cropping season. That's totally unacceptable. When the time is now, we haven't had a rain really since June 26. It's ideal working conditions to get that done, and it's time they need to move forward on that. Now, the Corps broke the Bird's Point levee, and, you know, my mom always said, you break it, you fix it. They broke it, they need to fix it. And in northwest Missouri, when engineers don't realize that snow melts in the summer, when they had that big snowfall up in the mountains in the Rockies, and they know it's going to come down the river. I think there's a lot of issues that the Corps needs to answer here, and this is just the resolution encouraging them to look into their plans a little better and also do repairs more expeditiously.
Well, I thank you again for bringing this forward. I think it's something that we all need to have a discussion and we need to think about. We need to all be on board because this does affect Missouri agriculture. This is some of the most productive farmland in our state. Me, as a cattle producer, costs of commodities are extremely high right now. I want those guys to be able to plant corn in a timely fashion next spring. I think it really could have a profound effect on our food supply. So again, I encourage you this morning. I appreciate you going forward. I will help you any way I can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th.
Put in more resolutions?
Yes.
All right. I have a resolution.
Send it forward. Do you care to explain the resolution, Senator?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is a resolution that will be sent to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. As many of you all would probably remember who have been around here for a while, there was an initiative called the Quality Rating System that would evaluate preschools, both public and private, that was strongly opposed in both houses of this legislature and was defeated strongly 4 years in a row consecutively. Now the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, along with the governor, are implementing this themselves without our authority and circumventing the legislature. In addition to that, they are applying for $60 million from the federal government to implement a system to evaluate preschools that we have opposed. This goes along with the parallel I seem to be seeing throughout state government under this administration. As the senator from Andrew pointed out a couple days ago, the Health Insurance Exchange is doing the same thing through our Department of Insurance here in Missouri. They have received $21 million from the federal government to implement a health insurance exchange that we have not authorized. But this resolution deals with just DESE and the administration, and we will be sending this a copy of this resolution with a cover letter to the department asking them to cease and desist. And I thank you, Mr. President.
The resolution will be printed in the journal. Staying on that same order of business, the senator from Green, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from the 7th.
The senator from the 7th, you yield to the inquiry from the senator from Green.
Who?
She does proceed.
Thank you for yielding to my inquiry. I was happy to co-sponsor your resolution, but I just want to make sure that I understand. I listened to what you said, and of course I'd read the resolution, and I've heard the dollar amount. But it sounds to me from this issue, and of course the other one that you mentioned with the health exchange, it's really more than just the subject matter that we're talking about here. The real crux of the issue is whether or not we're going to have three branches of government, whether or not we're going to abide by the separation of powers and all of that. That really seems like a foundational issue to me, and I know you feel the same way. What do you have any idea what the response will be? Have you had any discussions with the department?
I have had discussions with the department. I did warn them that this would be happening and let them know very clearly, as is the Kathy Thornburg, the woman who is presenting this to the Department of Education. She does work for the department, and she has a second hat with the University of Missouri, which has this quality rating system that she is implementing. She knows fully well that this has been opposed 4 years by the legislature, and yet she is going around us to DESE. I have warned the commissioner about this, let her know the history of this initiative and that it has been defeated, and let her know that if they did not stop, that we would have to let them know of our wishes. It was presented to the Department of Education State Board meeting at their last month's meeting. It will be voted on the 20th of September, and that's why it's important for us to get this message to them. I do not know what they'll do, but I hope they'll listen to us. That would be smart.
What kind of a response did you get?
Send us a letter.
Wow.
Well, the governor is pushing this too, and perhaps the folks at DESE feel like they cannot unilaterally take this off the agenda. But a copy of our letter and our resolution that I've turned in today will go to the governor's office, to the state board, and to the commissioner of education.
I guess the real question is if we even need a general assembly.
Well, it does look like there are those who don't think we do.
Well,
and when you start seeing a pattern like this with different departments, it's very, very troubling, especially when you connect to that the huge amounts of money that is going towards implementing something we did not authorize and refused to authorize.
Well, I remember, Senator, when you were in the House, we worked on this, and I opposed it. And I subsequently had discussions with some constituents in my district who thought it was a good idea, and I signaled to them that if the right language was there, I might support a quality rating system. But that's not the issue. The quality rating system is not really the issue. The issue is, do we do the right thing the right way? The issue is, do we circumvent the legislature, or do we just do what we want and ignore the wishes of the people's duly elected representatives in another branch of government? So I appreciate you bringing this forward. I'm glad to support it.
Thank you very much.
Any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Clay County, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from Clay County?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I'm just now getting really engaged in this issue, but it's an ongoing problem, and the senator from Green is correct. This is an issue that goes to the heart of our representative republic and how we function here as a House and a Senate. Are we going to control what happens in the state of Missouri as the elected representatives of the people, or are we going to cede this to people who are not elected, that are hiding out over in the executive branch, doing things to do a complete end run around the elected representatives of the people? So the senator from the 7th has brought this situation up to the point that now here we are, that we're faced with the Board of Education looking at whether or not some federal funds are going to be applied for and accepted. So that's current, but I think you've already told them months prior that this was something that they were supposed to stop and not go any further, that this was a matter for the legislature and not for an unelected hireling that's over within the bowels of the executive branch. Isn't that right?
That's correct, Senator. Last spring, we had a number of our school officials in my district became very concerned about this and concerned about the conflict of interest with somebody that's working half-time for the Department of Education here in the state of Missouri and university and funneling money from the Department of Education into her program at the University of Missouri. And so what I did was put together a meeting between Stacy from the Joint Committee on Education, Senator from the 31st, Senator from the 11th. We had Trevor from Senator Probst and Don from the Minority Caucus, and we and probably others in that. It's been a long time ago, and the Commissioner of Education.
Yeah, it was a long time ago that you've already addressed this issue and you thought you'd reach some sort of resolution that this was supposed to be in the hands of the legislature, right?
We discussed the problem. We informed her of the legislature's turning QRS down for a number of years. She agreed that there was an appearance of conflict of interest. Any other senator that's there if my memory may not be perfect.
And who was the she again that was there that she agreed that it had the appearance, it smelled like a conflict of interest?
This was
Kathy Thornburg? Or who?
What's that?
Who was it that agreed?
This was the Commissioner of Education.
Okay, so that's Commissioner of Education, Chris Nicastro.
Right.
Okay.
And she agreed that it had the appearance of conflict of interest. And in my recollection, I think, I explained the QRS thing to her. She had agreed not to go forward with that. And you can ask one of these other senators, my memory may be off. But I think there was general agreement among this group of folks that was in that meeting that there was the appearance of conflict of interest, that QRS had been turned down by the legislature 4 years in a row, and something that our previous pro tem was pushing as hard as he could, and it simply was not something that the General Assembly would accept. And I thought we had, I thought this thing was taken care of. And again, I can't remember if it was March or April of last year when we had this meeting, and so here it is again. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. It's like it here, yeah. And it comes back up someplace else.
Well, no, here's what it is. It is the people inside the executive branch, one employee in particular that's wearing two hats, one for the University of Missouri and one for DESE, that is absolutely positively thumbing their nose at us. They're flaunting their authority. They're doing everything to get by regulation because, by golly, they want it, and they know what's best, I guess, for the people of the state of Missouri. So the heck with the will of the people, the heck with those of us that are the elected representatives of the people. They're going to do an end run around us, and they're sitting there saying, what you going to do about it? They're like a little brat kid over there that just keeps kicking dirt on people, and until they get punched out, they're not going to do anything about it. Now, I don't exactly know what to do, but I do intend, and I realize that this special session isn't the time to do it, but next legislative session, I got a hunch between you and me, the senator from the 7th, and a number of other people, we can't sit here and let the republic just completely be dissolved, our constitutional form of government be dissolved, and turn it over to somebody that's hiding out over there under the cover of their hireling position inside the executive branch. Let's name her. Kathy Thornburg is who it is, but other people are letting her get away with it. And just let this go on. So, Senator, I mean, I don't know what your feelings are about this, but it's time we put the brakes on.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Senator. I've got a lot of concerns about the way state government is working under this administration. You know, we're taking reappropriating money. I thought the legislature had the opportunity to appropriate money. I can understand withholding. I cannot understand taking money from one spot and moving it to the other. I don't see that anywhere. And I have problems with one department after another. And I think there's an attitude that we really don't make any difference over here. And to me, it's not an R&D issue. It's a matter of separation of powers. We have certain powers. We have the right to appropriate. We have the right to guide policy. And it's being completely ignored. And
Senator, you just really hit on an important point. This doesn't have anything to do with liberal, conservative, Republican, or Democrat, House or Senate. This has everything to do with the prerogative of the elected representatives of the people being the place where the appropriations are made, how the money is spent, and what laws are implemented. That is the heart of our republic. That is the heart of our constitutional form of government. And when we have people inside the bowels of the executive department who are just sitting there saying, forget it, there are a bunch of people living under term limits. They're not going to do anything about it. They're just trying to run around figuring out how to get it reelected. It's time for us to say, oh, yeah, you just sit back and watch. Watch your appropriation get cut $60 million because you just took in money that we never wanted you to take to implement a program that the elected representatives of the people said no. This is our ultimate authority over them, is the money that they spend. They're going out and grabbing our citizens' federal tax dollars for a program that their elected representatives said we don't want over and over and over again. Even when the pro tem of the Senate, the former pro tem of the Senate, thought it was a good idea, the pro tem couldn't get it through because it's a bad idea. So here's the situation. I'm hoping to really get my head together with you and the senator from the 7th and the other like-minded individuals who do want this Senate to mean something in the future, who do want the House to mean something in the future, and go forward with figuring out exactly what we can do to put the brakes on this.
Well, at some point, you've got to quit ignoring the legislature. Again, we had a very bipartisan, I thought we had the brains, if you will, of the legislative side of government involved in that meeting, because I mean, there wasn't any disagreement between the elected officials or the representatives of our caucus or approach, and you know, obviously we were ignored. So,
and you
we'll
said
see
the senator
happens.
From the 11th was there.
Senator from the 11th, senator from the 31st, and then. Don from the Minority Caucus, Stacy from Joint. I mean, we tried to put together a reasonable group and do this quietly and not embarrass anybody. There was no intention to interrupt. We just said here's a problem that does not look good. And maybe I'm wrong, and you could inquire some of the other senators, but my recollection was that we were promised that QRS was not going any further. And that the appearance of the conflict would be taken care of.
And now we have, what, a $60 million grant?
Okay. I'm sorry.
A $60 million federal grant that has been applied for to implement this system that we have consistently turned down in the state. The elected representatives of the people have turned down. So I guess when that $60 million from the federal government runs out, they're going to run back to the legislature and say, the streets are going to run with blood and we're not going to be able to support this and it's going to be horrible and you're going to have to make an appropriation for it. So
let me correct my Don was representing the senator from the 11th. Senator from the 11th was invited. He couldn't make it, but
okay,
but Don
very good.
So
well, Senator, and I want to just make a bit of a point about this conflict of interest, because not only is it about the House and the Senate and the prerogative of the elected representatives of the people, but this is also about a clear conflict of interest. We have an employee who works part-time for the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education who is using that position to manipulate how the parameters of a contract are going to be written, specifically so that wearing her other hat at the University of Missouri, she and her organization are uniquely qualified, maybe solely qualified, to obtain the funds from the grant that she set the very contract parameters for in DESE. Does that pretty much describe it?
There's certainly the appearance of that. And quite frankly, in this area that we deal in, the appearance is reality. You know, I mean,
right.
And it's simply, you know, I had my say last summer, or last spring. I'm a little surprised it's back up again, but apparently you can't get the message through.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 31st.
The Senator from the 31st District. Senator from Johnson, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, thank you for the inquiry.
Yeah.
You were in the meeting. Does that pretty much sum up what happened in the meeting? I mean, that you told, that they were told to stop this?
You know, I was at a meeting when there was a discussion that was brought up about a perceived conflict of interest between someone in DESE that was working part-time in DESE and also working part-time at the University of Missouri, and the perceived conflict of interest, like the Senator from Saline talked about, real or imagined, that was a perception. And I know the Senator from Saline had some inquiries and some complaints for some people, so we did talk about that. Now that, to me, I think is a separate issue as opposed to the resolution that we're talking about. To me, I don't, if the other thing was actually brought up as far as this rating system and the things like that, that was not really my take from that meeting or my recollection. To me, I kind of tend to think those are two separate issues.
Yours was a conflict of interest, but I'm okay with honing in on that.
Okay.
We've got a person that is wearing two hats, getting two paychecks from the state of Missouri. One, using their influence through the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education to involve themselves in the crafting of contract parameters. And on the other hand, is wearing another hat in the University of Missouri, so they just happen to be the most likely recipient of these millions of dollars of funds. That reeks of conflict of interest.
And like you said, even if it's not that case, just the perception is not good. And so we had a meeting with DESE to talk about that, and as my understanding, the person who was in that position was asked that basically that not continue, that relationship not continue, meaning that person should do one or the other, not continue to do both.
Correct. Absolutely.
You know, it's a situation of, you know, the person who is approving where the funds goes is a recipient of where the funds are actually going. And there's no, I shouldn't say there's no accountability, but the perception is that there's not much objectivity to a decision made like that.
Well, I'm reading a book right now called Pendergast. And one of the things that he was a master at was manipulating the terms of a contract so that only his buddies could get the contract. So I suppose we got a little bit of Missouri history popping back to life again over in DESE and the others. But the other thing is, you've been here long enough that you're also seeing, I believe, the attempt for people to get by regulation what they cannot get by legislation. And you and I may have different opinions about the quality rating system. I don't know. But I think that one area where we can certainly agree is we are the elected representatives of the people. Things need to come through the education chair. They need to come through the committee that I chair. They need to come through the insurance committee. They shouldn't be out there trying to do an end run.
Circumvent.
Writing
mm-hmm.
contracts. Exactly. You nailed it. Circumventing the elected representatives of the people. So, Senator, I hope to have your support whenever the meeting comes that it's time to put our foot down, or there's no sense in us even being here as a Senate and a House. Thank you, Senator, for your inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
I have one final inquiry I'd like to make from the Senator from the 1st.
The Senator from the 1st is in the rear of the chamber. Do you accept the inquiry from the Senator from Clay County?
Thank you, Mr. President. I yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, I guess I just have been saving up my word count, unfortunately, for special session, but this just really steams me what's going on here.
A lot of good things to say today, Senator.
Well,
I've been paying close attention.
You and I share a concern about this circumventing of the Senate and the House by the executive branch. We've seen it happen. I'm seeing it happen with the Department of Insurance with regard to implementation of health insurance exchanges, so it makes me wonder why we're even bothering to meet with our interim committee to study health insurance exchanges, because come hell or high water, it appears that they're going to charge forward with it. So now we've got this thing going on with quality rating system, $60 million of our citizens' federal tax dollars coming in to implement a program that we have said over and over and over again that we will not enact through legislation. So they're just like, well, the heck with you guys, we'll just do it anyway. So what do we do other than stand here and wave paper under their nose? What do we do, and where do we go, and what can we do to stop this kind of behavior? Where's the consequence? Where's the or else?
Well, I mean, again, I think that the proper course is what the senator from the 7th is actually proposing here. I mean, I think that you have to shed some light, you know, on the situation. We've got to bring it to the attention of the people of Missouri. And, you know, whether we're dealing with, you know, intervention from, you know, the federal government in a direct way into our state, I think we have to interpose on behalf of the people of Missouri, our state government. I think it's crucial. And, you know, it's interesting. I was over on the House after we had recessed earlier, and the budget chair got up and spoke on a point of personal privilege. They were kind of going through their veto process, and he had made the point that the governor has withheld all these different items within the budget that the appropriators had appropriated, okay, instead of vetoing them.
Yes.
You know, and that he didn't, that they as a body didn't have the opportunity to override the veto. So what the governor has done is he's done an in-round, and in some of these cases, he's done it because the legislature has been lazy. Okay, the legislature, through the appropriations process, has put ease on, you know, appropriation lines within different budgets that allows the governor flexibility. And it was interesting, we had the budget chair get up and speak to this, and then the ranking minority member on the budget committee,
yes,
got up and inquired of the budget chair and agreed with him what he was saying, and the problem of the separation of powers and the balance of powers between the branches. And so, you know, this isn't the only place that this administration has overstepped his bounds. I mean, he's doing it in the appropriations process also, and this certainly, taking federal money that the legislative branch, you know, has not deemed, you know, that we want to take it and use it.
And I want to make it clear that yes, the governor does have the ability to withhold when our revenues are below what was anticipated when the appropriation was made. However, that is not the case in Missouri right now. We are either on target or slightly ahead. So the Constitution affords no withholding power to the governor at this point. I believe the budget chair in the House would be correct. The correct procedure would have been to veto and then leave it back in the hands of the appropriators. We don't even begin the appropriation process. The House does. Leave it in the hands of the appropriators. So we've got at least three instances right now that we're dealing with. One having to do with unconstitutional withholds. Secondly, having to do with the end-run implementation of health insurance exchanges. Further implementation in the states of the federal health mandate that the people of Missouri said they don't want. And third, this instance here, that not only do we have a clear conflict of interest, but we have people just saying, we don't care if you'd ever pass this, we're going to do it anyway. And that is a direct threat I believe, ultimately to the choice of low-income people as to where the best choice for care is for their children. So, Senator, I gotta have a hunch between me and you and some other like-minded individuals that we will arrive at some sort of solution as to what we will do come January. But I, for one, am going to deeply involve myself on this floor in the budgetary process with regard to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education if this does not stop and stop now.
And again, Senator, and I'm glad that you've articulated your position so well, and the Senator from the 7th has certainly brought this and shed some light on this issue. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, in some of the debates and fights I've had over the years, whether it be with the judiciary, the judicial branch of government, or with the executive, you know, they've always said that that our check, you know, the legislative check on their two bodies is what? It's the appropriations process.
Power of the purse.
Power of the purse. They've always said it. You know that, you know, when you try to exercise, as I did, the ability when I was in the House to introduce impeachment proceedings on a judge. I mean, the pushback on that was unbelievable. In that, oh, you're trying to get into, you know, you're inching over into our realm, you know, our dedicated, power. You know, but although the Constitution says that's where, you know, impeachment process starts.
I thought that was a constitutional
And they'd always say, no, you're where you have the check on us is through the purse, through the appropriations process. So, you know, I think that we should take that very seriously. And, you know, that they have directed us that, you know, when we think that there's a problem in the way an executive department is functioning, then we should look at that and say, You know, maybe we ought to consider, you know, how we adjust, you know, their appropriations. You know.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I'm very happy that the Senator from the 7th has stayed vigilant on this. I'm very happy to hear that the Senator from Saline has already been involved in this process. I have continued to try to stay involved in providing that check and balance to make sure that the executive branch goes as far as our laws, but no further, and that they do fully implement our laws once done, and not just sit down and refuse to implement them. So it's incumbent upon us. We took an oath of office, I believe, to defend our Constitution. And this is really where it happens. So,
yes.
Senator, I look forward to standing with you, maybe for a long period of time next year, because if they think that they can take $60 million of our taxpayers' federal dollars, well, maybe they can do with $60 million less in their own appropriation. So I appreciate it, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? We're still on the order of the senator from the 7th District in West St. Louis County. For what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay County, do you yield?
Yes.
She does. Proceed.
I'm just going to tie a couple strings together that you all were talking about with the senator from Saline and the senator from Johnson. Actually, this is a two-headed monster. There are two things involved, as the senator from Johnson mentioned. Kathy Thornburg is using her position at DESE to direct contracts, as you said, to her center at Mizzou. And with regard to the public preschools right now that are in place, even though they have had to go through certification and a lot of evaluation system through the Department of Education, DESE, they have had to replicate those same things because she has forced them to through a contract with the center. They were forced to sign that contract because they called me. They probably called the senator from Saline and others, and we were hearing, we're having to duplicate efforts. We are having to sign a contract with the center at Mizzou because Kathy Thornburg is requiring us to do it. I tried to stop that for some of the public preschools in my area. It looks like the senator from Saline did too. Now, in addition, and that includes the quality rating system on those public preschool directors. In addition to that, Kathy Thornburg is using the same conflict of interest, trying to use her DESE hat to force this quality rating system that was opposed by the legislature 4 years in a row to implement it onto public and private preschools. Even though the privates are voluntary, they can get no money for their attendees if they don't submit to it. it. So it's still that QRS system. It is still two hats. It is still conflict of interest, one with our private public preschools that has already been implemented, and we've tried to stop another with a fuller, broader program. So it's the same thing, two heads.
I understand. I appreciate the input. At the end of the day, wherever they're working and whatever they're doing, I'm after them. I'm after their budget. If they can do this and thumb their nose at us, then fine. We'll deal with it.
I will let you know, as far as dealing with it during the break, I was in the House collecting signatures on a letter that is going with our resolution that was signed by 23 senators. I was getting signatures in the House during the break here to see if they wanted to join us. I got over 30 signatures in the House, including all of leadership, to join us in our effort to stop this.
Well, I appreciate you continuing to stay vigilant. I continue to be interested in what happens. Maybe I'll find the time to stick my head in at this Board of Education meeting. But in the meantime, I want to find out who all is working over in that area at DESE, what their budget is, and I want to find out what the budget is for this outfit at Mizzou, because I think right now that our veterans and our developmentally disabled could spend that money better than apparently they are spending it. So I think we probably ought to just remove that amount from the budget, because clearly our veterans are hurting. Clearly our developmentally disabled can do with more money. Clearly we could probably do some more roads and bridges and special appropriations for that amount. So, you know, when people just don't want to do what the elected representatives of the people have done, maybe we should just rearrange our budget priorities and put it someplace where that maybe people can use it a little wisely, a little more wisely, and a little better. So
thank you, Senator, for
staying on top of this.
You are correct about that, and I did talk with the budget chair in the House, and he shares your feelings, is very anxious to take care of this, and you are right, too, that a lot of people may not remember. A number of years ago, we took money away from the veterans and put it into early childhood, and it looks like we probably need to relook at that in the next budget.
Well, I got to be a little bit clear on that. The Veterans Commission actually did that, which they shouldn't have done.
Right.
But nonetheless, we do have a situation, and I would be happy to stand with the budget chair, who is a fine state representative from the fine county of Clay, and just think that maybe probably between me and one of my fine representatives, it happens to be the budget chairman, that we'll probably find a way to deal with this.
I think so, too, and I thank you, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? We're still on the order of business of resolutions. Senator from the 23rd. The junior senator from St. Charles. We're on the order of business of resolutions. As the floor leader, would you like to say anything?
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate to the order of business of Senate bills on third reading.
Senate bills for third reading. Senate Bill 7. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, before I move into that order of business, would you please refer Senate Resolution Number 28 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
It shall be referred.
And also, Mr. President, would you please refer House Bill Number 2 to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight?
It shall be referred.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now I move that Senate Bill Number 7 be brought before the body for third reading and final approval.
The senator from Stoddard has moved that Senate Bill 7 be brought before the body. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, this is the
third reading.
I move that Senate Bill Number 7, Senate Substitute, be third read and finally passed. This is the most dire piece of legislation that we've I believe will foster some economic growth for the state of Missouri through the creation, attraction, and retention of jobs in the field of science and innovation. As we all know, our economy has struggled, and it seems that the trend for today and in the future is towards science, high-tech jobs, and it brings with it highly skilled workers. And these types of jobs tend to be high-paying jobs, and they bring in some of our brightest and best researchers from around the country and here in Missouri. And so I believe this is a good piece of legislation, something that we've talked about as a legislative body now for several years. And with that, I am open for questions.
The senator from Stoddard moves that Senate Bill 7 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Stoddard renews his motion that Senate Bill 7 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 7, an act relating to science and innovation. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crow, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Root, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
The senator from the ninth votes aye. By your vote of 30 aye, 4 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
House bills for third reading. House committee substitute for House Bill 3. The senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House committee substitute for House Bill Number 3 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body for third reading.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 3 be third read and finally passed. This is the election bill. I think it's the original bill that we had before we loaded it up, sent it over there. They unloaded it, put it in, got vetoed. And now we're back to changing the election day for the presidential primary to March. And only one other change, and that's raising the cost for presidential candidates from $1,000 to $5,000 on next year's election. Be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, trains.
Cell phones will be muted or put on vibrate. Thank you. You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 13th District in North St. Louis County. For what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 3rd.
I yield.
Senator from St. Francis, you yield. He does proceed.
Senator, I had briefly talked to you in the, what's that? That's not the Senate lounge. What is it?
I don't know. Behind the chamber.
Behind the chamber. Okay.
We're smoking cigarettes behind the chamber. No.
Here's my issue for everyone to seriously think about.
You if only you have watch, one issue?
What?
You only have one issue?
Would you let me ask my inquiry, please?
Go ahead.
You didn't vote with me today, so you're still in the doghouse for that. And you get up there and do this soapbox of being conservative, and here I'm trying to be conservative, and I can't get enough conservative Republicans to vote with me. I'm at a loss. But that's a different issue. In all seriousness, we all watch the presidential primary every year, and we see what's going on right now, whether it's your party that has a big primary because the sitting president is of the opposite party. All this time is being spent in Iowa. We moved from March to February, the date of the presidential primary, so that our constituents, the citizens of the state of Missouri, could participate in the presidential primary process, that the candidates would actually come to the state so that our citizens would be part of the selection process. When you deal with March in the Super Tuesday, pretty much the way things are is
watered
the
down.
Primaries are pretty much decided by then. You've had the presidential candidates drop out because once they lose Iowa, they have a difficult time of raising money. Their presidential campaign loses steam, so they drop out. So that brings the field of 8 or 9 down to a lot of times by the time it comes to March to 1. Now, if Missouri, when you watch Fox or CNN or any type of station, they always say Missouri is kind of the bellwether state, the state that is kind of a small look into what the entire United States will do. All right, now you're not even listening to my dissertation.
Oh, no. It's a bellwether state, but the fact that more people would come if it was earlier, I'd agree. Unless both parties say we're not going to seat your delegates. So if you go to Missouri and get delegates, we're not going to let them vote. So if you're a presidential candidate,
This answer. Okay. And I'm going to break the sin of an attorney. Never ask a question. You do not know the answer. But was Florida threatened with that? Did they seat their delegates?
Yes.
Did their delegates get seated?
Yes.
And the reason they were seated is they're going to get enough pressure from the presidential candidate that if the delegates are that close, they're going to fight to make sure they're counted. And I really have a difficult time understanding why our political parties determine when and when not we can have presidential primaries. I mean, the one complaint I have always received from my constituents, we don't participate in the presidential primary. All we do is participate in the general election, so we get to select from the two major candidates. If you're talking about economic development, as you were earlier when I had my amendment and you spoke against it, why not have economic development of having these campaigns come to the state? That's going to bring some economic development.
If I'm a candidate and I've been threatened by the party and that these delegates won't count, will you come here if you're a candidate?
Why are we always so worried about threats?
Senator, I'm okay with you voting no. I'm okay with it. You know, when did we start the presidential primary? Was this around the Revolution?
I think we did it in 1988.
88, the year Dick Gephardt was going to run for president.
Right. And then I
this
think we moved
it up. This has not been a long process.
I do believe we moved it up when he ran for president the second time as well, which I voted for, and I agreed to that. In 1988, I hate to break to everybody, but I was not here yet, so I wasn't part of
you
that.
You weren't here in 88?
No, I was elected in 1988.
Okay. Well,
seriously,
there's three choices. We can either approve this, which is okay. We can do what you're saying and vote it down, and it will then therefore stay in February. Or we can see, I assume, amend to get rid of it completely and go to caucuses and save $6.5 million. Those are the three choices.
Let me ask you this question.
I, as the chairman of the elections, I am carrying it so that the body can have this option to move it to March so that the parties are satisfied. If the body doesn't want to go along with the parties, well, they can be party poopers.
Well, if I could sit here and persuade you to agree with me, I'm sure the... And
they're starting to get a conspiracy here. They're going to vote my bill down.
Who sets the dates of the caucuses? Do you know that? I do not know that.
I don't know who sets the dates of caucuses.
I actually prefer presidential primaries over caucuses because
I
people
like primaries over caucuses. We've had caucuses this week, and it doesn't seem like they did anything.
The worst thing for our society in its electoral process is apathy. We all agree when less people turn out to vote, sometimes we don't always get the best candidate. So why not entice people to participate in a presidential primary that matters?
Well, I think that this would be the preference of the parties. It's the reason I'm handling it. I'm not married to it, and I
do you do whatever your party tells you to do? Are they telling you, Senator,
did you support Obama, our president?
I think my vote in the voting box is my business. And
yeah.
Not yours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I heard all these guys in here that said they wouldn't support him. Suddenly,
I supported Obama for president. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
vote
he's
Obama.
Your kind of guy. I know.
Well, I was surely scared of a heartbeat away having the lady from Alaska running our country.
So now talk to me about party politics. Go ahead.
No, a governor that quits halfway midterm to write a book and sell herself throughout the nation. I guess that's a little different than...
What are we talking about? Oh, Palin?
Oh, you already forgot who your party's vice president.
I thought we had a poor choice. That's the only reason that we have the situation we're in now, where we've got a president that has no business experience, nor will he hire anybody that's got any business experience. So we're there, and unfortunately, I don't see a lot
question.
Of choices that we have right now.
Do you do what your party tells you to do?
What's that?
Do you do what your party tells you to do?
Real close. Real close.
I'm serious about this, though. Why do we want to give up our right to participate in presidential primaries and go to... We all know... You put it to March, we're out of the game. Our citizens are out of the game. Who's before us?
New Hampshire.
South Carolina.
Iowa.
Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina.
We would have been third. All right, let's start the chant. We want to be third. We're number three. What? Yeah. We go to 25th? I don't know. I don't know what Super Tuesday is. We've had this conversation in the back. We disagree. I think we'd probably be better
off.
Why
do we disagree? Why would you disagree with allowing your people to participate? Can you agree with this? Isn't more attention paid to Iowa?
If you want to talk about what I think...
They did a straw poll, and one of the presidential candidates...
Let's do a cotton poll.
One of your presidential...
Let's do a Christmas poll.
Are you going to let me inquire?
What? I don't care. When you start to make some good points, we'll stop.
They did a straw poll in Iowa, and it dropped out one of your presidential candidates the next day.
Well, you know, I think if we're going to have...
Why
I'm
not?
I'm still not
if
convinced
we have
that we need... In a year where we're going to be cutting education, higher education, mental health, why should we spend $6.5 million on it at all? But
Senator,
if
we
we're
always
going to do it,
to allow
then
our
I would like to at least see
always
our delegates
need to allow your citizens the right to vote.
I think we could do a straw poll for nothing, but I think that if we don't have our delegates seated, it won't serve any purpose. So if we're going to do a primary, then we ought to do one where our delegates are going to be seated.
We decide in the state of Missouri when we have a primary for our office holders, which is in August.
I believe the senator
is on the floor.
I believe the senator's got his back to the dais, and I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're sleeping up there or what, there, Mr. President. But you know, we must obey the rules of the Senate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I had my
13th
side.
Me, please.
I had
face
my
the
side
dais.
To the dais, not my back to the dais.
Thank you.
This reminds us of when we first were elected.
Oh, I was right behind you.
Boy, time flies. But I'm trying to bring a valid point. Why do we want to take our citizens out of the process of a presidential primary? We, the state of Missouri, decide when our primary elections are. The state of Illinois decides when their primary elections are. Their primary elections, I believe, are in March, Illinois. Missouri's primary elections are in August. Some states have primary elections in June. Why are we worried about what your party and my party, or the parties we belong to, say when we have our presidential primaries? We have said February is a date to allow our citizens to participate in a presidential primary. The party comes in and says, you need to move it back to March, so our citizens have less input in the selection process. I mean, am I speaking to the wall, or am I really trying to touch upon us? Why do we want to take our citizens out of the game? We all can agree, once March comes, pretty much you're down to one or two candidates.
Well, Senator, I understand your frustration. I don't understand why the parties are self. What makes Iowa special? What's Democratic about having Iowa first? I don't agree with them at all on why, just because New Hampshire's traditionally first, why can't I don't agree with them, but our parties feel that their delegates will not be heard, nor will candidates come to Missouri.
In this Senate chamber, and let our parties, who I do not know the chairman of the Democratic Party. Do you know the chairman of the Republican Party?
I can't say I do.
You and I don't even know the chairman of our political parties. Why do we want people we don't even know coming into this chamber and telling us what we can and cannot do? It's not right. Hey, am I getting?
You're on a roll. Ushers, could you take up a collection? Number three.
Seriously, though, why?
I understand your concern. What do you want me to tell you? I'd rather not have a primary and save $6.5 million.
Let them threaten to take our delegates.
Why do you want to spend $6.5 million on something you might not get?
I can guarantee you, your U.S. senator, or our U.S. senators, are going to be calling and making sure that those political parties allow our delegates to be counted. They're going to step up to the plate. Why take us out of the process?
I think you're taking a risk that the political parties, you're giving the political parties credit that they don't deserve, and that they'll do the right thing. They may not do the right thing, and that's what I'm sure our statewide party people are worried about, is that the party will not do the right thing, and therefore our delegates will not be seated, and Missouri will not have a voice at all. Obviously, you don't agree with that.
Well, I'm getting tired. We always sit there, and when we're doing legislation, let our local school boards do what they want to do. Let us have local control. I'm allowing us to have state control over when our presidential primaries are, so that our people that vote in a presidential primary can select and at least have their voice heard.
We're stalling.
Presidential primaries in the state of Missouri, you go back to March, even though they might not be, I don't know the percentage of voter turnout, but you put it
about
in March, 8%. It's going to be
8%.
8%. How much if it's in March? 6?
Yeah. Well, in a primary in August, there's typically less than 20%, and in March, it's about 8. That's what I'm saying. 13, he said, last time, was we had a race.
Real quick, I'm getting inquiries. While I inquire of you, the cost of a presidential primary is $6 million?
$6.5 million is what they tell. That's what the fiscal note was.
It's going to be $6.5 million if it's in February, or $6.5 million if it's in March.
That's correct. The cost of running an election would probably be equal in February or March. So this is the most excitement we've had in here a while, and they're actually listening to you.
You have to be impressed, because most of our colleagues are staying seated throughout this debate because they're interested in it.
I think they just think that they get to vote one more time and go home, so that's why they're here.
Are we going home today?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going home.
I know the House has already went home.
They're done for the day?
They're done until next Wednesday, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Wow.
Anybody know? They said they really wanted to ponder our economic development bill and think about it hard before they refuse it.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to sit here. I've articulated the message I'm trying in all seriousness, and I continue to say that. But when you move,
well, I know we didn't come to agreement back behind the chamber, so I didn't think we'd come to agreement out here. I'm saying that they believe that there are.
The only time we agree is on tea time.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You like yours during my like right. Go ahead.
I'll just speak against your motion.
They tell you. Did we tell you? You tell everybody that they called when I went and played golf last week when we were off and didn't have anything going until 7:30.
Tell anybody called a lot of
the
things.
Golf
people
course
tell
and said
me.
I shouldn't be out there.
You're the one that likes to.
And the Secretary of the Senate would not give me the number so that I could call her at 2 o'clock in the morning to tell the lady that I was here and I was asking if she was still interested. But she wouldn't give me her number. But
kind of like
anyway.
That alderman, he first gets elected and he gets.
Well,
maybe
your impassioned speech did some good and the body will agree with you. Maybe it won't. We'll find out.
Well, I wanted to do the one story about the little alderman in the local municipality that's so excited he gets elected, and after being elected for 3 weeks, he gets a call at 2:30 in the morning from a constituent complaining about the dogs barking and what can he do about it. So the next night, he set his alarm at 2 in the morning and called the person back, how the dog's doing?
So I'd check and find out.
Yeah. I always like that story. I'm going to just speak against it, and I think we've had...
I thought you just did.
Well, I've inquired against it. Now I'm going to speak against it.
You're going to inquire against it, and you're going to speak against it? I'm
sorry
to take offense.
Well, if you would speak against your motion as well, we could probably pull this off.
Thank you. Is that? Are you
I'm done,
inquire?
Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th.
Speak against the motion.
Indeed.
Once again, we all know the further. The later our presidential primaries are, the less input our constituents have. We have both national parties telling us we have to do it in March. We dictate when our primary elections are. Let's allow our citizens to participate, and let's make sure the candidates come to the state of Missouri to sell themselves, their product, their ideas. Because so many people get tired of saying, when it came to the presidential election, all I was able to do was either select a Democrat or the Republican or a third-party candidate. Let them be part of the process. Why should Iowa be the dictator of who wins and who loses in presidential primaries? So for that, I urge the body not to listen to the political parties, but to listen to your citizens and give them the right to vote in presidential primaries in February. For that, I ask you to vote against the senator from St. Francis's motion.
You've heard the motion, or does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion, the senator from Cape?
To inquire the senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, you yield the inquiry from the senator from the Cape.
Yes, I'm going to keep my back to you.
He does proceed.
Okay. Well, and I can't tell anymore, but, oh, well, Senator from Jefferson wanted me to ask at the beginning of our inquiry if it is the new fashion statement to tuck your tie into. If that's how they do it up north now.
North. It's not north, it's north.
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 If that's how they
yes.
do it up north
yes.
now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know, we've had some humorous debate, but this is a serious issue, and I think you raised some valid points. I think the senator from St. Francis, and why do we even spend the amount of money we're spending on an actual primary is an important deal. Senate research for the benefit of the body, I'm going to have an amendment I'm going to offer that'll keep the date the same as it is now, which is February, and we're going to move it to a caucus to save that amount of money. You know, it's what, $6.5 million? The fiscal note says $6.5 million. You and I have both spent time looking at budgets. You were a former budget chair. You know what $6.5 million can do within the budget and in this time of limited resources and where we want to allocate it. I think we'll have a vote on whether or not we want primaries or caucuses to do the savings. I'm with you. I'd just soon keep it February where we've got it. We passed that law that's there. The only reason that we're here is because somebody I've never met, people I never have called me, say I'm supposed to change that. There has not been one person
that can vote for me that has said, hey, I want you to move this primary.
That's probably, I wish I would have thought of that point. Nobody's called anybody to say, I want you to move it back to March. That's a very good point.
I mean, I've never met our national party anything.
I haven't either.
I may have met him, but I have never even met the Republican State Party chairman.
I think
they told me over there on the side his name's Cole, but I don't even know him.
I don't either.
I have no clue. I think it's Susan Monty is the state Democratic Party person.
Yes.
I wouldn't have known her if she hadn't have been auditor.
I do know her.
I don't know if we're trying to get, And the senator from 23rd said Lloyd Smith is on side gallery. He can stand out on the side gallery and wait for me.
Fellow citizen.
Tell him I'll meet him outside. Is it still raining outside? Tell him I'll meet him outside of the garage. Just stand on outside of the garage and I'll be right there. But they're still drafting this amendment, I guess.
I take it he's not on your invitation list to your wedding.
I could give a rip. Looks like they're still drafting. So, okay. Thanks.
Well,
yeah.
Just to touch upon, I'm for keeping it. You have a valid point. I'll listen to once you introduce it. The one thing about caucuses is the presidential primaries much more accessible for people to vote than caucuses. And my idea has always been trying to make it as easily accessible to people to vote, because I think we can all agree apathy is the worst thing that can happen in our process.
Well, but, more people pay attention to an Iowa straw poll that means absolutely nothing.
You're right.
Than the Missouri primary.
You're right. You're right. The amount of network news that straw poll
At least in our party, Michelle Bachmann got more attention and spent more time in Iowa and more money in Iowa.
Money.
You just look at what Bachmann spent, the former Minnesota governor.
Pawlenty.
Spent on straw polls.
Right.
In Iowa that mean absolutely nothing, that are way before even the caucuses in Iowa. And more attention is spent there.
They spend that attention is for the investment in the Iowa caucus. And actually, if you look at the Democrats, our current president, until he did well in the Iowa caucus, wasn't even on the radar screen. So that caucus had a direct impact on the selection of who our nominee was and eventually the president of the United States.
And with all seriousness, both parties are trying to rig these things to pick who their candidates are. It's a bunch of insiders that have, MBAs from Harvard and marketing and poll tested this and that. And if the parties could have picked, they would have picked Hillary Clinton and they would have picked, whoever else ended up the Republicans being. And, I promise you, would have never picked, they didn't want Barack Obama, who is our current president.
Plus the
on
fact,
the Democratic
if
side.
You remember 4 years ago during the presidential primary process in February, you had a lot of not just front people, but the actual candidates themselves come and want to meet the different people throughout the communities, leaders in communities, about their chances in the state of Missouri.
Yep.
You're taking away those individuals not only coming to promote themselves, but also to meet with community leaders one-on-one and address issues and hear from issues. We're taking us totally out of the picture.
Yeah, and it's really the only time when a president is running to be president that any normal citizen can have any kind of interchange and dialogue with them, because once they're president, everything is so staged and so production organized on Republican or Democratic side, or it becomes a fundraiser that the normal person really doesn't have any access. So only when they want to be president are they humble?
They actually, in Iowa, they have town hall meetings, and they're actually in people's living rooms with about 10 or 12 or 15 people.
Right.
That's how important those individuals are to the future of their candidacy. So bumping us back just takes us further out of that contact.
Yeah, and whether or not they do that like they do it in Iowa or anywhere else, I think it's lethargic. I think it's healing. I think it's good for a president to have to go before people, just like I think it's good that if you want to be in the Senate, you knock on doors, or if you want to be in the House, you knock on doors, and you actually have to be forced to do that instead of it just becoming a fundraising competition.
And a polished person in front of a camera.
Yeah, and so we're gonna hopefully be able to get an amendment here that'll change the primary to a caucus, still keep it in February, have a vote on the $6.5 million. If that goes down, that's fine. I would just encourage the body at that point. Usually every session, we vote down a bill. We haven't had the opportunity to kill a bill yet this special session. The senator from the third has a horrible attitude. I don't know what his problem is. He's just,
maybe his
Nancy
teammate
negative.
Rubbed off on him, huh?
He's just Nancy negative, and I just think we should pick on him.
Thank you for getting up and inquiring of me on this issue, because in all sincerity,
yeah,
this is important.
And we've had fun with this, and in our way had some humor. It's been a long week. It is serious, and just because we're kind of being humorous in how we discuss it does not take or diminish the seriousness by which you examine this issue, I examine this issue. But the parties don't give a rip about us. They don't give a rip about the individual Missourian. We're here and we're supposed to do that. You know, the national party director, I bet, has never been to Missouri.
I'll give you a quick story if we're still waiting on your amendment. Are we still waiting on your amendment? I went in 1992 to New York to the Democratic National Convention. My wife went with me. And the delegates get seated in the convention, and there were about four or five passes for the 60 or 70 delegates that actually went through the caucus process to get picked to sit at Madison Square Garden, but six or seven that you could get your spouse into. And every morning I'd wake up early because my wife wanted to see the experience, and I'd go down there early and try to get her one. And it was the inner people with the party picking their friends or their biggest fundraisers to get to go to Madison Square Garden and see the candidates speak, which was really moving. So she would sit there every night at the hotel, and then I'd come back and we'd go to the social events afterwards. But that there shows you, even when you go through the process, you have to know the inner workings of the party to get a ticket to get into the convention.
Yeah.
That's just a sidebar to what you're trying to do. But don't let the political parties tell us when we should have our primaries.
The national parties, not even our local parties.
Yeah.
It's the national parties. And like I said, whoever is the national Republican, I bet if he has been to Missouri, he's only been here to raise money and met with millionaires. I guarantee he didn't come and talk on a farm or go see what Missourians thought.
No,
you know?
I mean,
we've talked about it. I'm just trying to get some time to see where this amendment's coming. We're out of practice. We used to be better during session.
If there's anyone else that might want to inquire about you, that's fine. Or if you want to take up.
Well, I'm going to inquire of the senator from the third, because I think we'll have a little inquiry with the senator from the third as if I've already offered my amendment, so we can shorten the time up, because I've already told him what that's going to be. So if that works out. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
Can I inquire the senator from the third?
Senator from St. Francois, do you yield?
I yield.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I just
kind of What are you doing with my whole year off here?
I'm trying to kill your legislative agenda. No. What I'm basically going to do, and I hope we can sort of suspend reality for a second and pretend I've already offered an amendment. I'm asking to be drifting.
What's in your amendment?
The amendment will leave the date as February. But now, instead of having primaries, they will be caucuses.
Now, the parties, if we have caucuses, will they seat our delegates?
I don't care. I really don't care. And I don't think we should care. Because they did this same thing to Florida. They backed down on Florida. I mean, they've said this time and time again. And they didn't do it 4 years ago.
We're not going to have them come in and draw numbers, are we?
And hopefully no hanging chads. So, you know, or butterfly ballots or anything else. So you inform me, based upon the chair of the committee, that this primary would cost $6.5 million. The budget situation that we are in, caucuses will be, won't cost $6.5 million. So we'll have the opportunity to vote on that.
Are you secretly a Ron Paul shill?
Yeah. Not secretly. I don't do anything secretly. I think people pretty much, I'll tell you what I think. So, So that's what I'm doing whenever I get that amendment. So
oh, it's going to be now a straw.
Hopefully I can
if it's a straw
close.
Poll, does that mean you have a caucus and then they have to?
No.
What's the difference between a straw poll?
The straw poll in Iowa is just like a polling experiment before they even have the caucus Iowa.
This is a caucus. Do we still have that defined in statute, what an official caucus is?
You know, as I understand it, we did that before Dick Gephardt decided he was going to run for president.
We did.
So, I mean, that was just in 1988.
Well,
I was a junior in high school. But
some legislation from 20 years ago saying, okay, do we just say to the parties, the caucus is going to be that night? You decide how many caucuses you're going to have, and
that's how we did it in the past. I assume once we say no primaries and we say caucuses, it'll be just like we did it before Dick Gephardt decided he wanted to run for president.
Well, I better know quickly, because if we're going to do this and we're going to caucus in like Reynolds County, I've got to reserve the phone booth at the Baker store
for all the Republicans.
For all the report, in case they all show up at once.
Well, are you running for president then? Is that what you're telling us?
I could carry the Reynolds County.
Is there an announcement that you want to make about?
Well, I wish we'd get somebody to, because if that's the best things we got in the country, it's an interesting process.
Maybe are you
from our party standpoint?
Are you secretly for Donald Trump?
He's got too much hair.
He's got a lot of hair. He does the wraparound. Of course, that's why one of the reasons I would never vote for Joe Biden. Anybody that does the hair plugs in a row and looks like he's planted a corn crop for a couple of years. The guy can't even be honest to you about his hair, much less anything else in this country, and voting for him. My God. I don't think somebody should be able to run and have a toupee or corn crop. And that should be like written in. Is that part of your amendment?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not.
Just talking about caucus. They're over there figuring out how do we do caucus and the rules and regulations. So I've got the chairman of the elections whose bill it is up there. And I don't even know how it doesn't, I guess, matter what the House thinks, too. But I think that's going to be another good.
We're going to be back here next week anyway.
Think so?
Well, I mean, that's what I've been told. They've already adjourned till Wednesday. So.
We're waiting for the.
I just didn't go home.
So the question is, do we do this bill? Do we do your amendment instead and turn it into caucuses? Or do we do the senator from.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you what my thoughts are. I'm going to vote for my amendment once it gets drafted up to move from primary to caucus. And hopefully that goes on. If it goes down and then we go to your underlying bill, then I'm going to vote no on your underlying bill. And
Dave,
that's just what I'm
going to
do.
Senator, if I go home, I've had a bad year. I fully admit it. Lost Winston a couple months ago, and I lost this. If I go home and the people support your amendment over my bill, that's really going to mentally, that made me send me straight to the Farmington Mental Health Center.
But we closed that.
I'm thinking,
we closed the Farmington Mental Health Center.
But I'm just thinking how this is going to affect me, because, if, as you say, they should go against me because I've got a bad attitude. And they vote for your attitude over my attitude. Oh, I'm going to feel hurt. But I can deal with it. It's going to hurt not just here, but here. But
are you telling me that you're going to frame this bill and put it on your wall if it passes? Are you telling me that this is the monumental achievement of your time.
This is my legislative package for the fall.
For the fall. What is it?
All legislative packages.
Is this your designer? I mean, do you have, are you going to let apparel line come out? Do you have a purse collection, a scarf collection?
It's all based upon the passage of this. We're going to have March wear.
March wear.
The reason we're, for those of you who don't, we still are waiting for the amendment.
We are waiting for the amendment.
Yes. We would.
Yeah.
The Chinese? Well, I thought it was funny. I'm going to drop it now. I did speak to the guy on the second floor today, and we talked about the events of this past week. And one of the things he pointed out was really interesting was the Tea Party guys circling the building last week with signs saying no Chinese hub while they were in Toyotas and Hyundais. So I thought that was a very interesting observation from the second floor. Maybe you can see the car models better from the second floor. I couldn't tell. I could just hear the honks weren't Fords. And
Yeah. You were using your Yokohama driver on the golf course.
That was a problem. Okay.
All right. I guess we're
made out of bamboo.
Still trying to get this drafted. 5 more minutes.
You've got the floor.
Two more minutes.
Would you ask it to stand these?
I'm okay, Mr. President.
Because I've said all I can say.
Senator from Cape.
Unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Thank you.
Senate will come to order. Senator from the third.
Mr. President, would you lay my entire fall legislative package on the informal calendar?
Your package will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess the announcement I'm going to make is that in just a moment, I'm going to be moving that the Senate stand adjourned until next Wednesday.
Any further announcements? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m. Wednesday, September 21st, 2011.
You've heard the motion from the junior senator from St. Charles. All those of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We're adjourned until 2 o'clock next Wednesday, September 21st.